Okay.
Oh, yeah, do that.
Those of you who are here on Shabbos know that we actually lane this on Shabbos, and I gave myself a little plug. Did you notice the plug?
Well, here, well,
yeah, yeah.
Well,
why
do you think you're
here?
What? Ah, come on. Okay. Okay. It's a long paragraph, a long chapter, and we're going to go through some of it. And it's a little bit, I have to say, wordier than most chapters. But the interesting we're going to have to deal with is the conundrum that Yonatan finds himself in. Just to recap, thank you, Steve, for your help. Just to recap, Yonatan basically finds himself in this struggle between himself and his father and his best friend. Not his best friend, the person he identifies with the most. And more or less, his father wants to kill his best friend. Okay? Now, it wouldn't be so bad if his father were the king of Israel and his best friend were the, you know, chief of staff, or however you want to call him, the defense minister, I don't know, you know, the chief of staff of the army, you know, I don't...
Secretary of War,
right, you know. So he's caught in the middle. Last we spoke, if you recall, the last thing that happened was David ran away to hide with Shmuel, the prophet, and anytime anybody came close, Shmuel zapped him with his prophecy. The last guy to get zapped with the prophecy was
Saul himself.
So the question you have to ask yourself is, what is the result of David running to Shmuel and getting Shmuel's protection? What is the implication of David running to Shmuel?
Wasn't David the one that Shmuel was the one that anointed David?
Correct.
And he's the agent of God.
Correct.
So therefore, if you want any help, you're going to God.
Well, here's the question. Did everybody know that David was anointed?
No. I said that before.
Correct. It was private. Nobody knew. So now when David... the door so high. Now when David, though, runs to Shmuel, and Shmuel protects him, then what?
Everybody just comes after. I mean, everybody comes
in. So then, you got to figure that at that point...
Start seeing.
Yeah, I mean, what's going on? You know what I'm saying? If the king is coming after a certain person, and the prophet is protecting him against the king, Shmuel is protecting David, that doesn't really sit right. It's a big problem. How do we leave it, though? Did Saul change his mind, or didn't he change his mind? Saul wants David's head, or Saul does not want David's head?
At the time, no.
At the time,
he sort of forgot about it because he got into the Nebuah.
He got into the prophecy. He's rolling around on the ground.
He found Nebuah.
Right. So there, does he want to kill him or doesn't he?
No.
You say no. Everybody agree that he no longer wants to kill him?
Obviously, still yes if you read on.
Right. But, okay, if your ambiguity actually answers a very big question. So he comes to Yonatan and he says, Me'a siti. What have I done? Me'a boni, mecha tashi lifnei avicha. What is my sin before your father? Kibu vakesh et nafshi. He wants to kill me. Now, by the way, Yehonatan was the guy last who said to David, no, I'll straighten it out. It's no problem. So now, does David trust Yehonatan? Does he fully trust Yehonatan also?
Yeah.
Do you think he does?
At this point, yeah.
It seems that he does, but it's unclear. Vayamar lo, he says, Chalila lo tamut. Chas v'shalom. Hine lo ashe avi, lo yashe avi davar gadol, o davar katan, v'lo yugleh atazni. My father would never do anything without telling me. I mean, this is a big deal. I'm my father's, you know, confidant. I'm next in line. Umadua yashir avi mimeni et hadavar hazeh ein zot. My father would never, why would my father hide such a thing from me? What's the reason? Why would his father not want to tell him?
Because he'll tell his friend.
Right. I mean, correct. I mean, he's got dual loyalties. It's kind of obvious. So then, it's interesting, Yonatan's a little naive. You know, forget the idea of naive. One gets the sense that he's unwilling to believe that his father wants to kill David. Why is he so unwilling to believe that his father wants to kill David? Very simple reason. Why does he not want to believe
it?
It's not just his friend. Remember how the Navi describes, how does Yonatan feel about David?
Like his brother.
He said, it's a love. He loves him. You know, so here's this person that you think is like the greatest thing since sliced bread. And all of a sudden, your father wants to kill him. So it's like impossible to understand. Here, this guy, this guy's the greatest. And now, why did my father want to kill him? It doesn't make any sense. Vayishava o David. So David swore. Vayomer, there's a lot of swearing in this parak. Vayomer yado, 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 yada, avicha, ki matati chen beinecha. He knows you like him. Vayomer al yedazot Yonatan pen yeyatzeh. So I'm not going to tell Yonatan why. He'll get upset. Ve'ulam chai Hashem v'chei nafshecha chi chepesha beini uvein hamavet. How many ask questions like this? Help me out here. As God lives and as you live, ki chepesha beini uvein hamavet. Between me and death. Right? Meaning, what do you mean? Your father almost killed me. I'm telling you, I know, your father almost killed me. You weren't there. He threw the spear at the wall. It was an instant and almost killed me. But Yomar Yonatan on David, ma tomar nafshecha be'ezah. What do you want me to do? Yomar David al Yonatan, hinei chodesh machar. Behold, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. Ba'anochi yashov eshev im hamelech le'achov. Anochi yashov eshev means I'm supposed to sit with the king to eat. V'shilachtani v'nishtarti ba'shadeh ar erev hashlishi. And I want you to send me into the field until the third evening. Im pakod yifkideni avicha. If your father remembers me, which is an interesting thing, by the way. Is that how you translate it? If your father remembers me?
If your father notices my
if your father notices my absence, which is interesting.
Father's mindful.
Right? The Amarta Nisho Nishal Mimeni David La Ruch Beit Lechem Yiroa. You say, you should say, David asked to go to Beit Lechem. Kisheva Chayamim Sham Mechol Mishpacha. Why? Because they're having a Thanksgiving Day dinner. They're having a family outing. A barbecue for the Rosh Chodesh, and he was called over there.
Can you stop for a second? So where we left it before, he had run away.
Right.
Shaul came after him. Why are they all back together again?
Who's they?
Why would Shaul miss David?
Excellent question. Excellent question. Anybody? Do you understand the question? Meaning, like a minute ago, last parak, last chapter, that, you know, Shaul was like throwing spears at him. And now all of a sudden, well, if I'm late for dinner, see if he notices. So why? The question is, why are they having dinner together?
Why is he near it? Right. Why are they together?
So there's only one possible solution, perhaps. Well, there's two possible solutions.
But also, didn't the last thing also, he went crazy. So
right.
He recover from that?
Obviously, he stopped prophesizing sooner or later and went home.
And everything just sort of went back.
Right.
Like, everybody went back to normal.
Yeah. So that's a good question. We'll see in a second. We'll see in a second. Okay. Wait a second, let me see, do I have it on this pasuk yet? Yeah. Okay. Here, take a sheet and pass it on. It's in Hebrew, I actually put my number, so it'll be somewhere there. Take one and pass it on. We're going to do the Radak. The Radak asks your question. Radak asks a question and he answers it very powerfully. I mean, you'll see if you like it or not. Right? I mean, these kinds of things, they're sort of conjecturing, they're guessing. Line one, the Radak. V'yamar lo chalila. So the other guy says, Chas v'shoa, my father wouldn't want to kill you. Are you crazy? Yesh v'shoa. I got a question. Hayach hayam avticho Yehonatan al sheker. How can Yehonatan say, Chas v'shoa, my father wants to kill you? V'ech amar lo. And how can he say, V'lo yigle et aznai? My father wouldn't try to kill you without telling me. V'halo le'ne ko hayar rodfo uvakesh ef nafsho. Meaning, Yonatan is like, no, my father wouldn't want to do that. Excuse me, remember last week that he sent those two guards to your house, to my house, to wait for me in the middle of the night, and I tricked him and ran out the window? Everybody knows about that. So why in the world would Yonatan say, well, my father wouldn't want to kill you, come on. Says the Radak. Third line. Ella, rather, fourth line. Hayah choshev Yonatan. Yonatan thought, shelo hayah belev aviv lahamito. That his father decided not to kill him, achar shenishbalo the amar chai Hashem inumat. Remember, Yonatan took him out to the field, and then he promised, "I won't kill him." Umashaya mekilat hachanit achar beashlua. Oh, do you have a problem? He threw a spear at him after that. Little problem. Umashashalach lebeito l'shamo umahamito. Oh yeah, and he also sent the messengers to kill him. And he chased after him personally to kill him with a gun, right? What about all that? Yehonatan thought, my father is suffering from depression, right? So in his manic depressive states, he loses control. Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Right, and it's interesting, until now, every time we've seen Shaul, it says, you know, Shaul had a Ruach Ra'ah. Right, he had the Ruach Ra'ah, he's like very sad, very upset, and all of a sudden, boom, he wants to go kill David. So Yonatan says, that's not my father. My father wouldn't want to kill you. My father, is when he's depressed, yeah, maybe he wants to kill you. So, we'll have to regulate his medication, You know, we'll have to make sure that he's okay, and we'll control it. Okay? That's what he said. Ki mibnei ruach ra'a shahaita miba'etet oto, was kicking him, haya rotza lahamato, ba'od shahaita bo ruach ra'a. Ki lo haita le ruach ra'a, elo itim, line 10, he only had ruach ra'a every now and then. Kamo sha'amar, as he says, v'ya b'yot alecha ruach alohim ra'a el sha'ul. לכן לא ראינו שהיה רוצה להמיתו אחר שפועה, אלא בהיות עליו רוח רעה. And we never see, the only time that Shaul wants to kill David is when he goes into this depressed state. לפיכך חייב מבטיחו יהונתן, כי היה יכול להישמר ממנו מבהיות עליו רוח רעה. So Yonatan says, I promise you, I'll take care of him when he gets into these states. You know, so that's basically the answer. So you say, how could Yonatan say something that's so obvious? So Radak asks the question, and he, and also the Ralbach say, the basic gist of it is, so, you know, David, you know, he has his moods. So when he's in a bad mood, you stay out of the room. But in general, he doesn't really want to kill you. You don't buy it?
No.
Why? But it does make sense. I mean, clearly, he's sick. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right, so if he's sick, so that's what he's saying. I mean, and we get that sense from the last chapter. Remember the last chapter that Shaul himself, you see, is in sort of this torment when he prophesizes. So does Shaul really want to kill David or not?
I would say today that Jonathan is in a state of denial.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's it.
You want to say simply that
he's
just
sick only sometimes.
Yeah, to say I'll be able to protect, you know, I'll be able to stop him when he's depressed.
Well, it's an interesting question. What I thought more was that Yonatan was right. In the beginning, he's sick. His sickness, there's a clear delineation between sickness and health. Sickness and health. And then we saw last chapter, right, that Yonatan takes him to the field and says, you know, like, Dad, come on, what's going on? And he says, I promise I won't kill him. In the beginning, there's this delineation. And as time goes along, and I think that there's a little truth to this, the sickness permeates his entire personality and it envelops him, becomes his whole being. And you see that, by the way, you see that in mental illness quite a bit. You know, first people will have, God forbid, if you ever, you know, you see people who are depressed, really, you see first they have periods of depression. And if they treat it, it's treated, if they, you know, they deal with it. But after a while, you know, when people get really sick, really, really, you know, depression takes over their whole personality. It isn't that it's just periods. It becomes overwhelming. And it's very dangerous. It's very, very scary.
Something interesting. The oath that Shaul takes, Chai Hashem in your mouth.
Yes. Last chapter, yeah.
I swear I'm not going to kill him. He's saying, I swear he won't be put to death. It makes it passive.
And therefore?
Sort of absolving himself, but then he killed him.
But if he happens to die on his own?
Perhaps.
All right. Okay. Fine. Pasuk Vav. Oh, sorry, Pasuk Zayin. Im Kol Yomar. So, they're having this conversation. David says, you know what, tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh. Im Kol Yomar. Tov Shalom La'avdecha. He says, what's he going to say? Maybe he'll say, good, I'm glad he went home. Im Charo Yecherelo. But if he gets angry, da ki chalta hara'a me'imo. Just know, then you'll know yourself that he's it's gone, it's over. Ve'ashita chesed al avdecha, you do me a favor, ki b'vrit Hashem hebeta et avdecha imach. You have brought me into a breach with you. Ve'im yesh bi'avon hamiteni ata. Ve'ad avicha lamazet tiri'eni. Very interesting line. He says, we have an agreement. So do me a favor. If you're planning on turning me into your father, you kill me first. Why bring your father into it? I'm trusting you. I'm trusting my life to you. So if you're going to betray me, kill me now. Don't betray me to your father and leave me to die by his hand. So it's very, I think that's, you know, you say that he trusts him, that he inherently trusts him. Hard to know. You know what I'm saying? If you're David, who do you trust? Who do you trust? What?
Nope.
You trust the prophet. You know who you trust? You're right. You trust nobody. You know, because you don't know who to trust. And only by people proving themselves, meaning he saw that Yonatan promised he won't get killed. So how does he know now? Yonatan brought his father out, and his father said, I promise you will not be killed. And all of a sudden, 2 days later, he's running for his life. So he said to your friend, hey, you know, what the heck? We had a deal. We had an agreement. And now all of a sudden you're telling me, well, and now you say, all right, I love you. I can't believe it. Oh my God, somebody tried to kill you? What do you know? You never know. One gets the sense that at least at this point, he doesn't know who to trust. So he's guarded. He says, you know what? If someone's going to kill me, do me a favor. You do it. Vayomer Yonatan, chalilalach. So Yonatan, you know, you understand his predicament again. Because now, because of his father, his friend doesn't trust him. So he says, chas v'shalom. Ki in yado eda ki chata ra me'im avi lavo alecha v'lo ota agi lach. Chas v'shalom, that I should find out that my father wants to kill you and not tell you. Pasuk yud. Yomer David Yonatan mi agid li o ma ya'ancha avi hakasher. I think the O means if, right? Who's going to tell me if your father gets mad? Vayomer Yonatan el David l'cha v'netze hasadeh. Let's go out into the field. And they both go out into the field. Now, it's interesting. Why does Yonatan insist on taking him out to the field? Gene, you have any idea?
From the next chapter.
What? From the last chapter.
Next chapter, with the three arrows.
No, that's this chapter.
Okay.
Yeah, but they're not... Oh, you mean he's getting him a little prelude before that. But, okay, fine. But Yomer Yonatan el David. Yonatan says, Hashem Elokei Yisrael, ki echkor et avi ka'et machar hashlishit, v'hinei tov el David. So God, the God of Israel, meaning what he means is it's an oath. By the God of Israel, I will ask my father tomorrow, v'hinei tov el David, it'll be good. V'lo az eslach elecha v'galiti et aznecha. Like by God, I promise, chas v'shalom, that should happen, that I won't, that I'm going to find out something and not tell you.
He's saying, I'm going to ask my father, do you want to kill David? And he'll answer me. That's what he's saying? Is that what he's saying? I'll ask my father, is today the day you think you're going to do it? I mean, this is what he's saying to him? I'll ask him and I'll tell you.
What else are you supposed to do? You know? Hey, Dad, I heard you want to... It was funny. We're going to my sister's for Thanksgiving. So the question was, stay at my sister's, stay at my aunt's house. So we decided to stay at my sister's house in the end. So my sister calls me up and says, I heard you're not staying at my house. I said, how'd you hear that? She said, well, she was talking to a friend of my aunt who said that we were thinking of staying at her house, so we must be staying out at my sister's house. How does that happen? I don't know. Okay. So, meaning, you have to ask. What are you going to do? What should he do? Okay, let's see. Ko yaseh Hashem liyonatan v'cho yoshif. So God should do to Yonatan, and so he should add on. Ki yekiv el avi et hara'a alecha, v'galiti et aznecha, v'hilachticha v'halachta l'shalom. Somebody help me, Alex. The language is very tricky. Basically saying, I promise I'm going to tell you. Can somebody read me the translation of 13?
So shall the Lord do to Jonathan, and more also.
Yeah.
It pleases my father to, it says in parentheses, bring evil upon you.
Yes.
I shall reveal to you, and I shall send you away, that you may go in peace.
Right. And God should be with you, like he was with my father. What does that mean, by the way? God should be with you, like he was with my father. What is Yonatan saying?
Well, God, in the beginning, was with Shaul.
Yeah.
When he sinned.
Correct.
And when he sinned, he left him. So that's why he's saying, God should be with you like he was with my father before.
Good. But what's the deeper implication of what Jonathan's saying? You're right. Absolutely correct. What's the deeper implication?
Is it my father when he's bad?
No. The deeper implication. What statement is Jonathan saying that he's going to say over and over again?
That
I'm not going to be the king. What is he? He says, God should be with you like he was with my father. Jonathan says to him, I want you to be the king. I'm not going to be the king. Yonatan is willing, I mean, imagine that. He's willing to acknowledge the truth and say, you know what? It's not for me. Did I tell you this about the Gerer Rebbe? The Gerer Rebbe's wedding? The son's wedding? Last week?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did I tell you about his son?
Yeah. So he just was looking out, like in shock.
Right.
What was going on.
So I was talking to Mr. Rittleman's son, who's a Gerer Chassid. And he said, yeah, like, that's what it is to be raised, you know, you're raised in royalty. Yeah. So, and that... Imagine the idea. Here Yonatan is saying, I want to be... A what?
What?
Oh, you were here last week. So they were showing us this video of this wedding. 50,000 people went to this wedding. I mean, you can imagine. Mr. Middleman, the son, was telling me that he was at the wedding.
Oh.
Yeah, and he said it was incredible. Like the way they had sections, like a stadium. You have to be in this base medrash. There are like 12,000 people in the base medrash. I mean, it's insane. It's just a huge, huge room. And he said they handed out a talent to all 12,000 people.
Oh,
Can you imagine? What?
With the same
stuff? No. Everyone got their own little Tupperware of chilling during the meal.
They had a box lunches is how they did.
They had what?
They had this huge tent set up.
Oh, you were there?
And you grabbed, well, I didn't get to go inside.
No, right, you haven't chased it.
Not fast farther than we were supposed to go. And then there's this whole tent set up.
Right, you went through the tent, you got your little pepper up.
Like probably the people who weren't like really in the wedding, you know, just like.
No, these are all the people.
Right, I'm sure there had to be people.
No, there wasn't.
No,
that was it. Because they had this big grandstand.
Like family?
No, I don't think so. That was it. Right. So at some point, you could see that the Gerer Rebbe got up to like dance in his place. And the whole place is like, you know, just electric with excitement. I mean, you know, like thousands of people. What? No. And I said last week, it was just interesting to me that the Gerer Rebbe, like everybody's looking to him and everybody's excited and everybody's wonderful. But the son who just got married, he didn't look so good. You know, because and Yohanan is interesting though, because he's a fighter and he's a warrior. We've already heard about his tremendous exploits. So you would think that he would be capable. But he had the foresight to see, hey, listen, I know God picked David. I love this person. So I'd rather serve him and do what's best for Klal Yisrael than worry about my own personal interests. And that's what he says. He says it clearly. My father was a sexual king. His time is over. Hashem should be with you too. That's not an easy thing to do. You know, you have the birthright, you should be the king, and you to get up and say, it's not for me. So Chazal say, based on this, there's a very famous Mishnah. Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, Ezehu davar ahava shelo tuluya b'davar she'sofali kayim. What's a love? That's a love that will endure if your love is not based on anything. So what's the greatest example of a love that's based on nothing? Mr. says, it's a love between Yehonatan and David. So why is the love of Yehonatan and David based on nothing? Because Yehonatan gave up everything for David. He had nothing to gain and everything to lose. So he must have really liked him. You know, because all he had to do was have David killed and he'd be the king. Except he liked it. Imagine that.
Yeah. That's the pasuk from Atah Horesa. Somewhat like Yihina Kaya Shehayimas Hashem Imana Kaya Shehayimavaseno Agazven Vialia Chain.
Shehayimavi? Okay.
Yeah. Well, it says Avaseno in the Atah Horesa. Imana Kaya Shehayimavaseno.
Yedalin velo imodeni chai velo tase imadi chesed velo amut. Again, the wording is very, very unusual. Please, I ask you, if I'm alive, velo tase imadi chesed chesed Hashem velo amut, and you promised that you will do kindness with me, that I should not die, velo tachid chesedam meim beiti arolam, and you will not end your kindness from my house forever, velo ba'achrit asemet oyvei David ish me'al pnei adama. And also not, you won't end when HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroys all the enemies of David.
He's saying...
What's he saying?
What?
What's he saying?
If I become king, and I'm still... If you become king and I'm still alive, don't consider me a threat.
Correct. Correct. Not if.
When?
Key, okay.
Right. When you become king, it's interesting what he's saying. You know, it's interesting. If you're Yonatan, imagine that now, you have to imagine the web he's caught in. His father is trying to kill David. If you believe that David is going to be king, so instead of David rebelling against the king Saul, what's going to happen to him in the end? What's going to happen to his family? What's going to happen to his children?
He's a legitimate threat.
He's a threat, and they're a threat.
His brothers also.
His brothers, his whole family, everybody. What do you do? What does Saddam Hussein do? L'habdil elef abdil dolos. When you have a threat.
Right,
what did they do to that guy Alawi? Right, yeah, that was great. What did they do to that poor guy? He's the president. Kidnaps his wife and his son and his daughter-in-law. You know, that's what you do. So it's interesting that Jonathan finds himself caught. Because on the one hand, if he sides with his father, then he's going against the person he believes should be the king. And if he sides with David, what's going to happen to his children? What's going to happen to his family? It's very just unbelievably tense. Yosef Yajain, Yosef Yonatan Lashvi, David Bahabato, Oto, Ki Ahavat Nafsho Ahivo. This idea, in his love, he swore to him, he made him swear, Ki Ahavat Nafsho. He loved him, a platonic love. He loved who he was. He loved who David represented. He just loved David. He thought that this was the guy. Pasuk Yudchet. Now comes from the Haftarah. Vayomer lo Yonatan Machar Chodesh. Yonatan says, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. Vidivkadata ki paked Moshevecha. You're going to be missed because your seat will be empty. So obviously, oh, by the way, the other answer to your question was, it is possible, I saw it suggested somewhere, that things did calm down for a while. That after Saul's prophecy, that maybe things did go back to normal for a while. And that David then, after a while, had reason to start wondering, you know, what's going on. Vishilashta teired ma'od. So on the third day, you should hide well. Ubata el hamakom asher nistarta sham b'yom hamaaseh. You should go to the place where you hid on the day that thing happened. What day? What was the Yom HaMa'aseh? Anyone?
The date you met from.
What day?
When you ran away from Saul.
I think it was the day. I'm not sure. I think some Mepharshim say that it was the day. Remember the place he hid the first time. Remember I brought my father out. You hid that day? So hide the same place. You know, it's a good hiding place. You should go to Eben HaAzel. The Eben HaAzel was a signpost, it was a watering hole, or it was a target. No one's really sure what exactly it was. Okay? V'ani shloshet hachizim tzida over. I'm gonna shoot three arrows. V'shalach li lematara to try to hit the target. V'hine eslach et hanar lech v'shach hachizim. I'm gonna send this young child and say, go find the arrows. Iramar omar lanar hine hachizim mimcha v'hina. If I have to say to the child, you know what? Come closer, it's too far. Kachenu ubavoa ki shalom lecha v'ein davar chayashem. Then I promise you, nothing will happen to you. Pasuk habeis. V'inko amar la'elem, if I say to the child, hinei hachashim mimcha v'hala. But if I say to him, keep going. Lech ki shilachacha Hashem. Then you better get out of here. You're in big trouble. By the way, what does he say that's a little inaccurate, maybe? Lech, why? Go. Kishi lachacha Hashem. Because God has sent you away. What is it really? Go because my father wants to kill you. So what does Yonatan mean when he says, Kishi lachacha Hashem?
This is what Hashem's plan is.
This must be God's plan. You know?
All the arrows.
Okay.
I think it's a subterfuge.
One second. Everybody understand Jesus' question? Why not the arrows? The simple answer to the question is, why not arrows?
Because he's really signaling him.
No, but don't give me your answer. Explain your question.
Because arrows, you know,
what's the matter with the arrows? The arrows was a great signal.
This was a rite of supposed magic.
Wait, hold on a second. One second.
Yeah.
You asked me a question. Why the arrows?
Yeah, okay.
Why not arrows? What's wrong with it? It's a great signal.
But he doesn't mean it to be a signal.
Why not?
It's a subterfuge signal.
Why do you say that?
Because he can't be telling him, go away because you're in danger.
Why?
Because I'm going to make believe that the arrows are sending you away.
No, Jack. You asked me the question, why the arrows?
Yeah.
What's wrong with the arrows? Meaning, in the simplest way, Saul doesn't know, he thinks he's going to be followed. His father doesn't trust him.
Because he can send a messenger to...
No, he can't. He can't trust anybody. You know how I know he can't trust anybody? Because when one guy finds out where David is, the whole city of priests are going to find his kill. So he can't trust anybody. So he says, you know what, I don't know who to trust. I don't know what's going to happen, so I'm going to send you a message. Makes sense. Why not? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Why not?
Because the arrows are supposed to disguise...
Okay, now Jim will give us a real explanation. Tell us what you want to say.
I shot the arrow into the air.
What? What's that?
3 days he's going to be hiding in the field.
Yeah.
So for the 3 hours, that was a sermon for the 3 days he's supposed to hide in the field.
Oh, so now you asked me a different question. What's with... What's with the three? Interesting. 3 days, 3 arrows. Yeah, Gene?
Okay. You know the thing, I shot an arrow into the air, it fell to the ground, and no airplanes.
Yes.
This has to do with an omen.
Correct. Very often they did omens.
Okay.
Correct.
But he's not asking an omen. He's sending a signal.
Yeah.
He's using the arrows as a guise that I'm not telling him anything. The arrows are what he's supposed to do.
Actually, the kid is.
What?
It's not him. It's the you know, it's the caddy. That's for you, Mark. The arrow, okay, all right, let's go. Let's go on. We'll see. Pasuk of Talit, Vayisatir David Basadeh, so David hid in the field. Does this just mean you feel bad for David having to hide in the field for 3 days?
What?
I know, but he's not in the field for 3 days. All right. Vayihi HaChodesh, it was Rosh Chodesh. What? Vayeshev HaMelech al HaLechem Lechol. So he also had time to eat. Vayeshev HaMelech al Moshevo, Kifam Bavam, El Moshav Hakir. So the king sat in his place against the wall. So Vayakav Yohanatan, Vayeshev Avner Mitzad Shaul, Vayipakeh Bekom David. They start playing a game of musical chairs. You might not have noticed this in Haftorah. Yohanatan got up, and then Avner sat down next to Shaul, and David's place was empty. What happened?
I'm trying to see if he's going to realize that David's absent.
Right, I mean, if that's what he's trying to see, apparently, why did Yonatan got up? So Yonatan was sitting, apparently, next to Shaul. Right, Yonatan gets up, Abner sits next to Shaul, and lo and behold, David's place is open. Why did Yonatan do that?
It was always open, no? I mean, it was...
No, what happened is, and so, I think Rashi sort of explained, some of Farshim explained, that maybe the king wouldn't have noticed, which is interesting in and of itself. But Yonatan sat in David's seat, and then when Shaul came, he got up.
Oh, he was in David's.
And then the seat next to Shaul was empty. So then it can't be empty, so Yoav has to go sit next to the king, because that's not appropriate. And then, well, if Yoav's sitting next to him, then all of a sudden everybody's going to notice, well, where's David? Which is interesting to me, because what does that tell you? And they say it a number of times. What does it tell you about Shaul?
He kept him close.
Well, could very well be that Shaul wouldn't have noticed. You know, he says, if your father notices, he says a number of times, if your father notices, I'm gone. Well, he should notice. You know, don't you think he should notice? It's just very interesting that he says, so now, what does it mean, elbow Shav Hakir? Why did Shaul sit against the wall?
So no one could steal him in the back.
Interesting, right. Barrel Wine, Dove Sherson came up to me during the Haftarah and said, Barrel Wine points this out, that he was so paranoid that he sat against the wall. Because against the wall, nobody can come up and snag you from behind.
Yeah. Well, we used to go places in the ark. It was always sit with your back to the wall and your face to the door.
There you go.
It's a wild book.
Now, Rashi says, Moshe Vakir means Berosh HaMateh. The wall, right, you had the head of the table, was against the wall. But when the last time you saw a table that was against the wall, head table against the wall. It was interesting. Shaul didn't say anything. Kiyamar mikrehu. That happens. Dulti tahorhu. You don't tahor. That he's not tahor.
He has to go to the mikvah.
Why does he have to go to the mikvah?
To touch the dead body or something.
No, no. He had a nocturnal emission, as we say. What's interesting to me, what I find fascinating is, you're dealing with Shaul. I mean, look at the juxtaposition of values. Why would David not show up? Because he wouldn't want to show up, and Shaul readily understood why would he show up. Because they used to eat what's called altarat hakodesh, right? Even though they weren't eating a korban, but nonetheless they would only eat if they were tahor. You know, have you ever washed your hands for bread? Why do we wash our hands for bread? So that our hands will be ritually pure when we touch bread. Because when the time comes to eat the truma, the bread has to be tahor. We have to be not truma. We come to eat. You know, I don't remember what it was. Certain holy things, I don't remember exactly what, so you have to be tahor. So listen to this. Here's the juxtaposition. On the one hand, Shaul says, I understand, you know, it's so slim that everybody has to wash and he has to go to the mikvah. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, he's trying to kill him. He's trying to kill him. You know, you say to yourself, well, if you're willing to murder somebody, well, what do you care about washing your hands? What do you care about? Did you say Avracha David? Do David dance? Once David's best, now I can kill him. You know?
A clear indicator of his mental illness.
No, I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think so.
Yeah?
You think so?
I think it kind of fits with the mental illness kind of profile. You know, to be so consumed by the detail and at the same time, you don't want to kill the guy. It's not consistent.
I think that it's interesting that you can be a person completely immersed in ritual and very firm, and not see this huge flaw as any relationship between that and your firm cut. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm trying to point out that Shaul was a very firm person. He was shomer everything. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he didn't see his desire to kill David as a religious issue.
Does Mikre mean carry?
Yeah, yeah. Carry means an omission. Yeah. Right. Okay. And if you have an omission, you ever notice that the Hasidim, the Lubavitchers, all go to the mikveh in the morning every morning? The reason is because of this, that it used, the halacha was that, that if a man would engage in relations, in marital relations, so he's tameh. So you can't daven. The halacha was, halacha really originally was, that you can't daven until you go to the mikveh. So the problem was, well, you know, oh, hey, Billy, went to the mikveh today. Lucky you. So they made a gzera that everybody has to go to the mikveh. Well, you know, it's not appropriate who goes to the mikveh, who doesn't go to the mikveh. So then everybody would go to the mikveh. But then Ezra, they said later on that people weren't able to hold up to it, so they got rid of the practice of the mikveh. But the Lubavitchers, it's a chumrah, and they still go to the mikveh every morning, as you're supposed to. And just get ready when the Mashiach comes, and we're all going to have to go back to the mikveh every morning. And this will all be nice and clean. But apparently that was halacha. That's what they did at the time when if a person engaged in relations or whatever, that they would go to the mikveh in the morning. And they also, not only you have to go to the mikveh in the morning, then you have to wait, it's called Harav Shemesh, you have to wait until the night in order to become Tahor. So why did David show up today? He's not Tahor. He must not be able to show up. Pasuk of Zayin, Vayini Macharat HaChodesh HaShemi, Vayipakein Makom David. But the second day he doesn't show up, and he's missing. Vayomer Shaul Yonatan Beno, Madua Lo Ba Ben Yishai Gam Tmo Gam Hayom Al Alachem. Hey, where's your friend? How come he didn't come yesterday and today? He asked me, you need to go to Beit Lechem.
It's interesting that he says, your friend, you know, the son of Ishai, instead of my son-in-law.
Yeah, oh, very well said. No. What does he say instead of not my son-in-law? He says, where's Ben Ishai? What doesn't he say?
David.
Where's David? Why?
He can't bear to say his name.
He hates it so much, he can't bear to say his name. He's the enemy.
Where's
that sick son-in-law of mine?
He disassociates himself from if he kills him. You know, it's all part of that.
That's correct. Right. I should have mentioned that. It's a good observation. When a person is out to get somebody, they instinctively dehumanize them. And one of the ways a person is humanized is by their name. Mm-hmm. So if he doesn't say his name, so what does Yonatan say? Nis'al David me'imadi ad Beit Lachem. Oh, he has a name. His name is David. And he went to Beit Lechem. He said to me, I need to go home. My brother told me to come. Let me go. I'm going to go escape and see my brothers. That's why he didn't come to your house, to your table. Shaul become enraged at Yonatan. Vayomer lo, v'na azat ha-mardut. Son of a
pervertedly rebellious woman.
Son of a pervertedly rebellious woman. So, son of a rebellious rhymes with itch. He says things, where the king says things. Halo yadati ki bocher ata leven yishai. I knew you chose Ben Yishai, you chose that guy over your own mother. That's what he says. Ouch. Now, by the way, why didn't Saul believe him? What if the story was true?
He would have told Saul he was telling?
Yeah, I don't know. What if the story was true?
He doesn't want to believe him.
How does Saul know? I don't know the answer to this question. How does Saul know that Yonatan is lying to him? If the story is true, then what's the big deal? He'll be back.
Did he first said about the
Thomas? No, he guessed he was coming.
Oh.
He thinks he's protecting his friend.
So he thinks that his son is lying to him. And it's just that he assumes that his son is lying to him, which
he
is. Which is kind of ironic. Maybe, I think maybe the word, one word doesn't make sense in Chavtet.
I was going to answer.
The second sentence will give you the answer.
What word in Chavtet, in verse 29? Right, he says, Imalta na ve'ere et achai. Let me escape and see my brothers. So maybe Yahonatan is testing him. And let him escape. And seeing what Shaul says. So if he says, you know, he's kind of giving him the choice. If Shaul wants to, he can hear the part about the brothers. He can hear the part about the Thanksgiving dinner. And if Shaul wants to, he can hear the part about you let him escape. And that's exactly what he does.
Is this also the kind of thing where they're sitting down to some dinner that went on for 3 days that he wouldn't have seen him any other time?
No, it's Rosh Chodesh.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, you know, one day goes by. And
it's a two-day Rosh Chodesh.
So they just sit and eat all day?
No, they have meal. They have the meals.
Okay.
Right?
But the only time he...
Everybody's expected for lunch.
Okay, and that would be the only... What about when he sat and played for him or, you know, other...
Well, David hasn't been around.
He has been, no?
Well, obviously not. Where is he, Neil? Where is he?
He's only expected to be at Rosh Chodesh
right.
dinner or brunch.
I guess so. At Rosh Chodesh brunch. Lamed Aleph. Ki kol ha-yamim asher ben Yishai chai. As long as Ben Yishai lives, al ha-adama, lo tikon ata u-malchutecha. Well, your kingdom is gone. Ve'ata shlach v'kachu to'elai ki ben mavetu. Now go bring him here. I'm going to kill him. So it's interesting. Saul is saying to Yonatan, don't you understand? He's going to take your place. And what does Yonatan want to say back but can't?
Good. I want him to take your place.
Fine! Why can't he?
Because he'll get killed for being rebellious.
Yeah, it's hard to know. You know, he will get killed, and what's Saul going to do? Take the next brother. And Yonatan's not the only son. But and he agrees with him totally. Lamed bet. Vayan Yonatan et Shaul aviv. Vayomer elav. Lama yumat. Me'asa. Why should he do it? What did he do? Look at, by the way, I think it's Mitzvah that David. You have Mitzvah that David? Me'asa. Mitzvah that David. Me'asa. Lamed bet. Interesting Mitzvah that David. Im Hashem him licho. Me'asa hu. If God wants him to be the king, no. God wants him to be the king. It's not that he's asking, what did he do to deserve death? If he's going to be the king, he'll be the king. Big deal. And that tells me that according to at least Masudat David, everybody knew who David was by now. And so Saul said, well, you nuts? How can you let this go? It's going to be your downfall. So it is interesting that you can sort of see Saul's perspective. You understand Saul's perspective. You know, he has a position. He's the king. So anybody trying to take his spot, you have to get rid of him. You know, we read it with a very sympathetic eye towards David, but if you're Shaul, what would you do? What do you do? Okay.
Is Shaul acting out because of...
Doesn't say Rach Rah.
Well, no, but he...
Does not say.
Right, so it contradicts what Radak...
No, Radak is saying that Yonatan believed that it was all because of the spirit.
That what's going on right now...
No, before... And now he's finding out that it has now infiltrated his personality.
That of the denial.
Yeah,
but is he after David now because of himself? Or does he realize that David's not after his life? Or is he in it now for his family name and for his family destiny?
It's interesting. Is Saul swearing himself to David in order to save his own family?
No. I'm saying,
is Yonatan swearing himself to David?
Yeah, it's kind of like... Because Shaul's telling Yonatan, look, he lives, he's going to be king, you're not going to be king.
Correct. And one gets the sense, yes, I get the sense that Yonatan is saying to Shaul, listen, he's going to be the king. He was anointed, we all know it.
Right.
So now the only question you have to ask yourself is, are you going to get on the wagon, or are you going to get run over by it?
So that's the thing, is Shaul...
And Yonatan and Shaul refuses to acknowledge that that's going to happen.
Right, is Shaul going against what clearly... Everyone knows to be God's will about David being king because, at this point, because of his own...
I'll throw that out there. Is Shaul going against what everybody knows to be God's will? What is Shaul supposed to do? Shmuel came to him and said, you're not going to be king anymore. What is Shaul supposed to do?
He's supposed to blame that king.
How?
Just lead the people until David takes over, until he dies.
See, you're thinking about it like you're thinking about a presidency.
Well, he is. He can't pass it on to...
You can't pass it. What's he supposed to do?
His son anymore.
So what's he supposed to do?
So that's what I'm saying. Is he getting all enraged at this point?
What?
Because...
Abdicate the throne?
It's happened already. But he doesn't want to acknowledge it.
When did it happen?
Happened
already. Well, already anointed David.
Right.
So David is the king presumptive.
Right.
So
just quit. I'm done. See you later.
But so is history, as far as that's concerned.
I'm asking you, what does God expect Shaul to do?
Let what's supposed to happen happen.
Give it up?
Yeah.
And help him out with trying to teach him how to teach him the ropes. Maybe if he really is a God-fearing man and he knows this is going to happen, maybe he takes it upon himself to help teach him how to lead.
Don't you think that's asking a little much?
If he knows
he your job is gone. But do me a favor. In the last 2 months, I'd like you to send your replacement.
Right.
And make sure he has all the passwords so that there's a really smooth transition between you and the next guy.
For the right amount of money, you do it.
Yeah, it's
I think you're being.
Yeah.
I think you're being a little.
All the time.
What?
We do it all the time. The right amount of people stay on to train the next people. You know they can.
Was it expected that he was going to take over
to brew the world out there?
After Shaul dies?
It's unclear. It's just unclear.
Maybe that's the problem.
But
nobody knows
when it could have been that his Shaul's reign could have been longer. But it doesn't mean that it ends right this minute.
Trying to hold on.
So he's holding on.
It's also quite clear that the people need a king. He can't just quit. So, what if Shaul would have said, okay, you don't want to be king anymore? I quit. See ya. Go home.
It would have been a lot of problems.
You can't quit. He's the king. Right? The anointment is a lifetime anointment.
But it's like what's killing him isn't that... What's killing him is that his son isn't going to be king.
Right.
And that's...
harder for him than himself.
Right. It's like if it was just him, he didn't have any children to bring along David...
And not only is it telling him that his son is not going to be king,
that his son accepted it.
His son doesn't want to be king. You know, and this goes back to the Hasidic dynasty thing. It's a heavy responsibility to have that, and you give up a lot for it. But one of the things you tell yourself is you're giving it up, you know, so that you're giving up, you sacrifice, and people do this all the time, so that their children should have. So maybe Shaul's saying to himself, you know. What am I doing it for? Yeah, I'm killing myself for you, and you don't even want it.
Let's go back a couple of
things. Yeah. Oh, we didn't get up to that, did we?
Yeah, we can't.
No, not. We're not. Lama Gimel. Vayato Shaul etachanit alav lahakoto. So Shaul takes the spear and hit him. Vayede yonatan ki chalahim e'im aviv lahamid etavir. So, you know, if he's going to fight, did he throw the spear? He didn't throw it. He took it, right? Did he say that he threw it, or he says that he took it? Vayato.
He hurled it.
It says va'arim, in Hebrew it says va'arim yeshaul yat. Arim, what is arim, Gene? Any other linguistics guy? In Aoklus on Lamed Gimel.
Well, this says in English, cast the spear upon him.
Cast it upon him. I don't know.
It says
Vayatel. Remember the whole vagueness the last time also?
It's not like he's in throwing condition.
What?
Mitzvah Sion says Hishlich.
Hishlich. Gene, what does Avarei mean? Lamed Gimel in the Targum. Do you have Targum?
No, not Targum.
Oh, you don't have Targum. What does Va'arem mean? Aleph, Reish, Yud, Mem.
Aleph?
Reish, Yud, Mem. Va'arem Sha'ol Yat Murnita.
He picked it up.
Right. You did that? Va'yatel.
Right.
Yeah, Va'yatel.
He's ready to throw it.
Right. And then, you know, you gotta touch it.
Finally.
Yeah, got it. You know? Okay. Vayakav Yohanatan Ne'im HaSulchan B'chari'af. So then, now Yohanatan gets angry. V'lo achal b'yom ha'chodesh ha'sheini lechem ki ne'eshav el David ki chlimo aviv. He says he didn't eat for two reasons. One, sorry, I've said about the whole David thing. Tommy hit him.
Yeah.
And plus his father embarrassed him. I mean, his father embarrassed him. You know what they say? You can assault me, but you don't assault my mother.
Who embarrassed her?
His father embarrassed him.
Who's the him?
Saul. No, Yonatan. Saul embarrassed.
I have to play in words here.
Ki ne'eshav el David. Ki hichlimo aviv.
Opposite of him licho.
Good.
All right. He unkinged him.
Everyone get it? Mm-hmm. Everyone see it? Hichlimo. Is it about hichlimo? I never noticed that. Hichlimo. Is the root of Hichlimo is Kaf Lamed Mem. That is it. If you would take it the other way around, what is Mem Lamed Kaf? Him Licho, Melech. Means to king him, to anoint him. So meaning, when his father embarrassed him, He downgraded him. Yeah, his father embarrassed him in public. So he's upset. He went out to the field, and there's a young boy with him. Start running. I'm going to start firing. Now, if I were the kid, I mean, I don't know. You're shooting arrows into a live arrow field, you know. That's your job.
Good catch, the arrow.
The kid came. Asher Yera Yonatan, he got to the place. He cried Yonatan, hurry up, go get it. He got the arrow. He came back. So the kid didn't know anything. He was like oblivious. Nobody followed him. Go back to the city. I'll be back in a minute. I have to do whatever. So David gets up from where he was hiding. He bowed down 3 times. They cried. They kissed each other, and they cried until David higdil. Higdil means he cried more. Why did he cry more?
Did he realize this is wrong?
What?
Did he realize...
Why did David cry more than Yonatan?
Did he realize Yonatan was loyal?
So why should he cry more?
Last time he's going to see
that.
Okay. But why would Yonatan not cry?
He's crying for what his friend's going to have to deal with.
Oh, interesting. It's interesting that you say that. You say he's crying for Yonatan. Mm-hmm. Which is interesting. Because Yonatan, David, his path is clear. He knows what he has to do. Yonatan is living this double life. Now his father doesn't trust him, clearly. He has dual loyalties. And in the end, what's Yonatan going to do in the end, we know? He's going to sacrifice himself for his father in a cause he does not believe in. How's that for taking one for the team? It's tremendous burning. Yomer Yonatan to David, lech l'shalom. We have sworn in the God, name of God, Hashem, ad olam. You go, but remember, we have an oath now. I'm setting you off. I saved your life. You have to remember that. Forever.
Where was Saul during all this?
Saul's back in the city. He's at home. The only time where he said, Dad, I'm going to target practice.
So you know, did he need that?
We used to play with the basketball. You know.
Did he need that whole thing with arrows as a ruse to go into the field? Because couldn't he just have said, "Sit there, and when I figure out what's going on, I'll come talk to you."
Good, right? Look at
did
the look at the sheet.
That?
This is from the Yalkut Nam Loi. The Yesh Mafarshim Inyan Zeh So Yiriyas Achitim. The Nam Loi is wonderful, really wonderful. I think it's even in English on Navi. Is there an English on the Navi, or it's just on Chumash? And did you know? The Mam Lois, I know, I don't know if we have it on Navi. Shibikesh Yonatan Ladan, line one, end of line one. Shibikesh Yonatan Ladat, Mahi Gzeira Bashamai. This is exactly the opposite of what Gene said. Why did he throw the arrows? Because the arrows were going to be a symbol. He's going to shoot at the target. If the arrow goes beyond the target, then God wants David to leave. If the arrow goes before the target, then God wants David to stay. Shemidvarav Shal Shaul Bilvad. Being whatever Shaul wants, who knows what's going to happen? Right? We don't know for man alone. Sometimes a person says bad things, Chash Baruch Hu thinks it's going to be good, etc., 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 etc. Is that him? If there's anything more important here? Here, Vizel Shamar, line 5, 6, 7, 8, the middle of the line. Line 8. Vizel Shamar Yonatan David, that's what David said. Ani I'm going to shoot the 3 arrows. Hanu lematarat chefchi, ladat merkaisha emet. I'm going to shoot them to know the merkaisha emet, the centrality of truth. In Zerahi min hashamayim. Im yishamei shana yivakesh hachitim b'makom karov. If the boy looks too close, and I have to tell him, go farther, it's a sign from heaven, meaning it's a sign from Shemayim, it's a sign from heaven. And we know that David has to go. So it's interesting, why the arrows? So Jesus said the arrows was just as a sign. It was a subterfuge. Says the name Lois, I'm saying no, he was looking for a sign from heaven. He wanted to know, is it really Min HaShemayim that you have to run away or not? And the answer was, yes it was. Get out of here. Now it's interesting, what's with the threes? How many threes did we see here?
One.
We saw the third day. We saw three arrows.
He bowed
three times. What's with the threes? Anyone? Any ideas?
And the 3 days because of 2 days was Chodesh.
Right, fine, okay, you could say that. But then the three arrows and he bowed three times. So it made me think of this very interesting pasuk in Kohelet. Kohelet says something about Tovim Shnayim Min HaEchad, right? Two are better than one. V'Hachut HaMeshulash Lo Bin HaRa Yenakek. But the thread that's woven of three doesn't split quickly. What in the world is that talking about?
Say that again.
I think it goes like, I don't remember the pasuk by heart, but it says, Tovim Hashnayim Min HaEchad, two are better than one, but V'Hachut HaMeshulash Lo Bin HaRa Yenakek. The three, weaved,
braided
string does not fall apart that quickly. Who are the three braids in our chut, in this chapter?
There's two arrows and there's a tie. The third one is a tie.
I'm saying symbolically, I'm conjecturing. I'm conjecturing. What are the three braids in this chapter?
It's Shaul David and Yehonatan.
No.
Hashem is in
there. Yehonatan, David,
and Hashem.
And God. And how do I know? Look at the last sentence in the parak. Vayomer Yehonatan to David, lech l'shalom. You want a piece? Asher nishvanu shneinu anachnu b'shem Hashem lemor. We have sworn in the name of God. Hashem yihye b'ni u'beinecha. It's God is between you and me. Me, God, you. Bein zariyu bein zaracha ad olam. And maybe that's an idea of a symbol of the three. Why he bows down to him three times. Why he shoots three arrows. Why he specifies specifically on the third day to say, and Yonatan takes it very seriously. He says, this is not just an oath between two people. This is an oath that we bring God into the covenant. And when you bring God into the covenant, that's achut ha-meshulash, lo bim hera yenatek. That makes it eternal. And David understands, and he's conveying. He bows down three times and he says, I understand. And I'll keep my word just like you kept your word to me. And it's something that will be and is between them forever. Now, I'll leave you to think about, because we're out of time. We were out of time. What's the whole thing with Machar HaChodesh? He says Machar HaChodesh twice. What's the whole idea of tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh? Where does Rosh Chodesh fit into this whole thing? And more importantly, why don't we read it on Erev Rosh Chodesh? What's the connection between this and Erev Rosh Chodesh? So Rav Ariel has a beautiful answer with the third source that I'll give you. But you should just notice, by the way, somebody tell me, who do we mention in when we bench on the Chodesh? When we bless the new moon, what do we say? Anybody know? Any of our players mentioned in the you know, you go outside, you say the bracha, kish levana.
Three times.
Why do we mention David at Kiddush Levana? So it isn't just happenstance that this pasuk happens, that this parakat, but we read it on Erev Rosh Chodesh, and it isn't just happenstance that Rosh Chodesh forms a theme throughout.
David has a text on Rosh Chodesh.
What is it? So Rav Ariel writes very beautifully. I mean, you guys have a minute?
Yeah.
It's a very powerful idea. Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi Rami, Rabbi Shimon Sazi says, this is a Gemara in Chagiga maybe? Uksiv ayas eshneima rosh hagadolim. Uksiv etama or hagadol betama or hakatan. When God created the world, it says that God created two great lights. And it also says later on that he created one big and one small. So Amar Yerech of Nechadish Barakul, the moon said to God, Yerech Shalom, can two kings take one throne, meaning, God, you don't need two suns. You got the sun and the moon. So you don't need two of us. So what did the moon really want? The moon used to be the sun. He wanted the sun to go take a nap. Amalah l'chi u'ma'ati et atzvecha. So he said, God said, okay, you know what? You spoke up. You be this moment. Amalafana, so she said, Rabbana shalom, homo, the mati, the vanecha, dava, hagun, amit et atzmi. I said something that makes sense, so you're going to punish me? Amalah l'chi u'ma'ati et atzvecha. You will rule during the day and the night. Amalai, my rabute, the shage betira my mahani. Right, what's the purpose of me? What's good for me? Meaning, he says, Mato elet v'ner b'tzaharayim. What do you need the moon during the day for? Amalai, zil likri tzadike b'shmecha. Righteous ones will be called in your name. Yaakov hakatan, Yaakov b'shmal, David hakatan, that will be called shmal. Chazya debokam yat v'daita. So then God saw the moon was very upset. Amalai, kadosh baruch hu. Heviu kapara alai shemi atati et hayareach. So I had a kapara that I made the moon small. But clearly, very interesting midrash, all of a sudden David shows up in the moon. Why? So he says, Rosh Chodesh is an interesting holiday. It's a holiday of the anti-jealousy. What got the moon in trouble?
Jealousy.
The moon got in trouble because he says, I want everything. Make that guy smaller. God said, you know what? You learn to be smaller. And it's very interesting the language that he uses. Shnei melachim b'keter echad yimluchu. Can you have two kings and one crown? What's our chapter about?
I can't.
It's about two kings and one crown. What is Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh, interestingly enough, is it's the end of the old month and the beginning of the new month. This chapter, Rosh Chodesh symbolizes the end and the beginning. Because until now, David was willing to say, you know, David had an allegiance to the king. At the beginning, he still wanted the king to forgive him and make up, and I'm going to serve the king. And at the end of this chapter, where's David going? He's going on his way. Going on his way to start a new life, to become the new king. And why? Because Saul said there ain't room for both of us in this town. You can't have two kings, you can only have one. I'm going to kill that guy. You know what God said to Saul? You make yourself smaller, that guy's going to be the bigger one. So what does it mean, Machar HaChodesh? Rosh Chodesh is a time for renewal and recreation. It's a time of humility, in a sense. And you look, it was interesting that it's a two-day Rosh Chodesh. The first day of Rosh Chodesh was the end of the old. The second day of Rosh Chodesh, beginning of the new. What happened on the first day of Rosh Chodesh? What does Saul say, the end of the Rosh Chodesh, the end of the old? Why didn't David show up on the first day, says Saul? Mikrehu. Mikrehu means it happens, things happen in life. What about the next day? Next day, it's no longer things happen in life. Right? And that really symbolized the end of Saul's life. Why didn't I made a mistake, I didn't kill him, I didn't listen to God. No, happens. The second day, the beginning of the new month, Saul really enters for himself and begins David's new life. And perhaps that's why we read on Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh symbolizes a rebirth, a recreation. And nothing symbolizes better than our chapter. So cutting David off and saying, I'm going to kill him, and David needing to run for his life. But in running for his life, he finally understands, I have to start over. I have to start anew. And in that, he builds the seeds of a new kingdom.